Hi, this is Jack Canfield from The Secret, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is the Kick-Ass Life. And I don't know if you remember last week, but I shared a story about my son, Ben. And we talked about some stuff we were going through. I got a little bit emotional. And so I asked him, I said, hey Ben, how about coming on the show with me? And maybe being a co-host, not just once, but coming back sort of, you know, maybe a couple of times a month and helping me out, you know. And so he agreed. So, Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody.
So, Ben, you better tell everyone, how old are you?
I'm 14 years old.
14. Now, just tell me something. You went to something pretty amazing today. Just explain what you were up to today.
I went to the TED Talks, TEDx, and it was really, really good. Like, yeah. I had a great time.
How many speakers were there?
I don't know the actual exact number. Probably at least like 10.
10 speakers.
Now, two of them were videos.
Oh, okay. And I know the third from last, I asked your brother Calvin, I said, hey, what was your favorite speaker? He said the same one as you. So I want to dig into that.
Yeah.
And then I want to get into a little bit of what happened last week with me, where you and I had a little dispute. But first I want to play a song, one of Ben's favorite bands. Now, I asked him what his favorite band is right now, but most of the songs were a little bit, what's the word?
Explicit.
A little bit, because he likes rap. So now we're going to go with some of his old favorites, and he loves Queen, so do I. Yeah, here's a song from Queen.
Okay, everyone likes Queen.
Who doesn't like Queen? Everyone likes Queen. Here we go. This is Killer Queen.
Complications. She never kept the same address in conversation. She spoke just like a baroness. Middleman trying up and down to gauge her mind. Then again, incidentally, she's that way. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she could care less, fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen.
Ben, you can sing if you want. I often sing during a song. If you feel like bursting out, just burst it out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Ben, you're a guitarist as well, right? So
yeah.
How's that? Can you play that rip?
I wish.
Yeah? For your practice and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. Your favorite guy. I'm really fascinated by this, that you and your brother had the same favorite guy. So who was it? What were they yakking about? Now, you have to understand, Ben just walked in the house from TED Talk. So you've only been home like 20 minutes or so, right?
Yeah.
All right, lead us in. What happened? Who was it?
Okay, so I don't know his name. I forget.
That's all right. We don't need names.
Yeah.
Man that will not be named.
So it's this guy. He's like 28, 29 years old, I'd say. And he was talking about how he just kind of like had nothing to do and he wanted to do something. And so, same with the three other friends. So they made a bucket list of 100 things that they wanted to do. But the first time they started, they only had 2 weeks to do it. And the first thing that he did was be a knight for a day. So he got a suit
like
of
a knight,
armor.
Knight, like
yeah,
a, yeah,
a knight. Okay. But so they got the suit of armor and they didn't know what to do. So, but there was this kid who conveniently had a sword with him, like a plastic sword, and the kid ran up to him and he knighted the kid. And then suddenly, like, lines of kids, like, came up and started getting knighted by him. And then it came on the first page, the front page of the newspaper, which also checked off another thing on their list. So, I don't know, it was just cool. Like, he was talking about his adventure, going around, checking things off his...
So being a knight for a day and all these kids lining up sounds really cool. But what was some of the, did they talk about some of the favorite bucket list items that you thought, oh yeah, I want to do that. I'm putting that down.
They had really like, one of them was play basketball with the president, which they did.
President of the United States.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And
how did they pull that off? Did they say how they did it?
No, he just said they did it.
I remember seeing pictures of that. What else?
I've,
What is that noise?
Think about, is that a plane?
There's this crazy noise going on outside. Do you feel that? I mean, what is that? Casey's here. Casey, what's going on outside there? We don't know. The neighbor's back.
It sounds like a plane.
The neighbor's new plane. Hey, keep it out next door. We had the door open. All right. So, Ben, what was think of any of the favorites of the bucket list items? Is it the president one?
I don't remember them.
Yeah. But what now? You did write a bucket list at one of my programs a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And what's the top of your bucket list? You must have thought about it this afternoon. Anything that you're like, this is my first thing?
It's hard to say.
That's all right. Can you think of, I mean, there's lots of things you want to do.
Yeah, I remember,
we were talking about.
Kenyon tried to get me to eat a worm because I wrote eat something weird.
Oh, I remember that on stage. He brought you up. But you were talking recently about going to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And like to snowboard in Japan. Wasn't that one?
Yeah.
And we talked about the seven wonders of the world.
I can't think of my top one because I want to do them all.
Oh, I see. Right. So then when you were inspired, are you inspired to maybe get more aggressive about the bucket list now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely.
All right. So listen, let's get down to the, what do we call it?
The biz.
The biz.
The I don't know.
What do we have? What happened?
Tax.
The which?
I don't know.
But we will talk a little bit about last week because a lot of people asked me about it and I got some emails from people who said it was great that I shared. You and I have always shared this kind of real 100% trust. And I've always trusted you with everything. You know, I was test driving a brand new car the other day. What do? I pick it up and I go around to Ben's friend's house and I say, well, test drive it. See what you think. What were we driving?
A Range Rover.
It was like, can you imagine if the guy who owns the dealership is listening right now? Yeah, Ben's 14, by the way, right? So Ben drives around the block. I get his opinion on stuff, right? So I've always trusted his opinion. He has the passcode to my credit card. And Ben, what do you talk about what happened? What was the sort of build up to us having our little fallout there? Well, kind of a big fallout, but.
Well, I mean, I tried to lie, but I thought it was okay because I was trying to protect one of my friends.
That was the first lie.
Yeah, but I thought it was okay, but it wasn't. Lying's not okay.
But then you did this. You did this thing where was that the first lie you told me, or was that? I mean,
I think so.
Okay,
like the first real.
I'm looking into his eyes right now. Beep 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 beep. Look into my eyes. So you told a lie and you got away with it because I kept, but even though you kind of knew that I kind of knew, and I kind of knew that you were trying to protect a friend, and
I was just hoping you'd forget, and I could just. You know,
but I let it go. And to be fair, I mean, because I know that Ben doesn't lie, I was like, you know, I get what he's trying to do. So I didn't dwell on it, but I actually set him up. I actually put something in. What happened? Why don't we tell a story?
You're sneak.
It's actually better if we tell a story because otherwise everyone's going to be lost about it. One of your friends dropped a vaporizing cigarette?
E-cig.
E-cig in the back of the car. And I didn't know who it was. It could have been my gardener. It could have been one of his friends. So I asked my gardener. I asked everyone that had been in my car. And the only other people that were in the car were Ben and his two friends. And so what I did was the next time I was picking Ben up, I knew where he'd sit. So I put the e-cig there. And then when he went in the house, it was gone. And so I did approach you on it, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, you were thinking about protecting your mates, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And we let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
I just lied, and it was for no reason. It was really dumb. I was just panicking because I wasn't supposed to be playing video games when I was. It's like a dumb thing to lie about, and I just did and said to his face, I'm not lying, which I just didn't want to get in trouble and immediately regretted, and I don't know, it was stupid.
But my, because I'm the kind of guy that sometimes when I lose my rag, I'll like blow up, rah! Get old grizzly bear and forget it right away, right?
Well, you snuck up and looked at me through my window first. Well, and then you came in like, what are you doing?
Well, I wanted to see because I was trying to worry that you started to lie to me, right? Anyway, so the thing was, though, we went through a couple of days where I was acting a little estranged. But then what happened? What was the solution? How did we find our way through it so that we got to a point where you looked me in the eye and we shook hands and we said that, you know, we hugged and kissed. Dad, don't say on air that 14 and we still kiss.
No, huh?
But what did you do? What was the plan?
I mean, the book report?
Yeah.
I did a book report.
Yeah, you're on 100,000 people listening in 200 countries. I did a book report. Yeah.
Well, you first got me to read The Speed of Trust.
Well, actually, what I did, I
buy it with my own money
and go down to the mall on your own and get it.
Yeah.
All right. And then,
but then Jen said that that was not the right book. So then I read The Four Agreements instead.
All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you a little moment here. And by the way, this is the first time on air, Ben and I together. Ben, it's so great to have you. I know we're going to go on air a lot. You're going to bring different book reports you're going to be doing onto the air. But let's play another song from one of your favorite bands that is not explicit. This is A Crazy Little Thing Called Love. You know, there's some great riffs in these songs.
Yeah.
These should be the songs you're singing. Ben's taking
both
singing
songs, left. You've ended it right on the guitar solo.
Should I not?
No, it's cool. I was just pointing
out. Okay. But yeah, Ben plays electric guitar. He takes lessons and singing lessons. How's the singing lessons going? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you sing.
No, it's they're going great. Fine.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
She's a great teacher, right?
Yeah.
Now, you learned something about this. We're going to get back to the lion thing in a second, but you learned something about teachers. And you had a guitar teacher, and then you have another one now. Oh, what was the thing you learned about that?
I mean, he wasn't a good teacher. I didn't...
But like, you didn't know...
Yeah, I didn't really like him.
Your first teacher.
I just thought he was... I don't know. I didn't like him. So then I didn't want to practice guitar, and I was like not motivated, and so I didn't play guitar a lot, and I never practiced. It was just bad. But then when you met him, you saw how negative he was, and he was like not confident because I was about to do a concert, and he's like, but it's okay, he doesn't have to do it. And he's all negative, like, oh, he doesn't have to. So then you got me a new teacher, and he's awesome, and I love, he's like so cool. And I practice guitar like every day now.
But what was interesting was I said to you, right? I said, if you're going to have a teacher, like your singing teacher right now, you love, the guitar teacher you love. What was great was watching you come out of guitar practice. I mean, because he just started with this new teacher, right? And I mean, it was interesting because, you know, Ben played this concert in front of 800 people, but his teacher was almost talking him out of it. And that's where I noticed that he wasn't the right teacher for Ben. And the hard thing for a guitar teacher is when Ben gets there, he goes straight in. And then as soon as he comes out, another kid goes in. So I never really got to talk to the guy. And the day we did, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a guy teaching Ben. And so now watching him walk out of guitar practice, you got this big grin on your face and you're bobbing your head, right? So anyway, with that being said, so let's talk a little bit about the book you read. So you switched books. You went from The Speed of Trust by Steve Covey. And what did you learn? You actually read about the first, 40 pages or so, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you learn from that one? What was the big story in The Speed?
It was all about trust, right?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I felt that it was pretty much just him saying trust is good and important, which it is. But the whole 322-page book was just him saying trust is important, like reworded.
So
I didn't really like it.
He's a buddy of mine. I'm going to let him know that. My son thinks your book is boring.
I'm sorry.
Right. No. So anyway, so Jen said that you should read a different book. Yeah. And again, much like taking lessons, you got a book. What was the book we chose?
The Four Agreements.
Okay, and?
Yeah. I liked it.
Good. And that was, guess who called me today?
Was it
Casey? Was that Miguel Ruiz from The Four Agreements? He actually called. We had a chat today. He was actually flying out to Turkey, and I've actually invited him to come up to the house here. So you might actually meet him.
That's cool.
And you're actually about a foot and a half taller than him, by the way. So you read The Four Agreements. Give us a summary a little bit of the book and what Ben's going to be doing. He's actually working for Amplified right now. Yeah. And yeah, you could actually read it. He wrote a book report. Just read the summary and then I'll get you to talk about The Four Agreements.
The Four Agreements is a book about four different agreements that can make you to...
Don't worry.
Can make to yourself... Did I...
Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No worry. Off you go.
The Four Agreements is a book about four different agreements that can make to yourself. You can make to yourself so you can start living a better, happier life. Don explains that we are all domesticated and programmed, and the only way to make these four agreements, you must first destroy your current agreements and make these four new ones in their place so that they are gone forever. The only ways to destroy these agreements are the three different methods. The agreements are to make people like and trust you, to make you happy, and to not assume and get upset, and just to have a better outcome in life.
Awesome. So let's talk about the first agreement. What was the first agreement?
The first agreement was be impeccable with your word.
All right. So this is your favorite agreement, wasn't it?
Well, it's most important.
Right. If you hear banging, by the way, it's because Ben's taking his socks off and dumping his feet around. And then, okay. So talk about what did you learn about being impeccable? Because I think there's a couple of parts to impeccability. One
is, it's not like it's like.
No, I was going to say
lying is like, no.
Right.
But it's so always follow through with your agreements, always like people can trust you, but it's also to be impeccable with your word to yourself.
That's a big one, right? Because a lot of people, they have these crappy conversations with themselves when they look in the mirror. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. They low self-esteem. So being impeccable means being impeccable with yourself first and then others second, right?
Yeah.
And then we talk about how did it feel when you felt like you'd lost my trust, by the way? How was that feeling for those day and a half where I kind of didn't talk to you?
Soul crushing.
Well, yeah, and I didn't mean it to be because I was really hurt. I said to Ben, it really felt to me like it would be like coming home and finding Jen in bed with another guy. It was that kind of feeling. It was overwhelming that I felt.
I just thought myself as a trustworthy person, and then I don't know. I was sad.
Do you think at 14 that was a great lesson to learn? Imagine that I'd let it go. Well, if I'd let it go and I would let that lie go, what do you think? Do you think you would have thought, oh, maybe lying's all right, that you can get to the next lie?
Probably. And
yeah. It's not. Awesome. So impeccable then. Have you noticed anything? Have you noticed more since you've read the book that you're conscious of being impeccable more now with your word? Has it started to sink in a little bit more?
Yeah, but I haven't really had a lot of opportunities to kind of do so. But for the most cases, yes.
Awesome. All right. So what's agreement two?
Don't take anything personally.
That's a tough one. Mind you don't a lot, right? I mean, that's the one thing I think defines our family culture. I mean, like, you know, I can be explosive when I get mad, you know, I can be a bear, but it goes by really quickly. We all forgive each other and move on pretty fast, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true? Or am I making that up?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. And so
well, do you, like whenever you get mad, usually like maybe an hour and a half later after you've cooled off, I get like a really long text explaining the situation and you apologizing.
Is it that long? Does it take an hour and a half?
Well, no, maybe.
Yeah, that's all right. No, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think. But typically, though, we can have a bust up where we have a disagreement and minutes later, there's no energy about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But do you find that, what do you take personally? Are there things that you do take personally, like at school with your mates? Because it's hard to be 14 and be around other kids because they can be cruel. And
well, I mean, I try not to. I think I'm pretty good at it, but I don't know. Sometimes I would just get an insult. It kind of sinks in. Sometimes, like occasionally, usually not.
Okay. Now tell me one thing. When you look at school right now, if you were doing an analysis on school and how kids feel about themselves in the conventional school, because Calvin goes to a private school, you go to a public school, you have no interest in going to the private school, right?
No.
No. All right. But how would you assess school? I mean, is it a cool place to kid? I mean, or is it hard on kids? I mean, if you're not the cool kid, I mean, are kids mean?
I mean, you just kind of like find people who are nice to you.
Right.
And if someone's not nice to you, you ignore them.
So you just ignore people. Well, yeah, yeah. No, I understand. But do you find that when you see a kid that's not, you know, that really is being picked on, do you find that you maybe sometimes you look out for them or say hi to them, or do you find that you'll ignore them as well? I mean,
I don't see people get picked on.
You don't?
I mean, even people who are unpopular still have friends.
Right, right. So it's more clicky though.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Awesome. Let's talk about agreement two. Three, I'm sorry.
Three. Don't make assumptions.
Aha. And so, I mean, I know as a younger person, maybe it's not something. Did you find that useful, that chapter?
Yeah.
Okay. Any part of your life?
I wouldn't have expected. I saw a book that was like the four agreements to living a complete life. I wouldn't expect. Don't make assumptions is one of them.
Right. But where do you think people break down? What was your sort of learning from the assumption chapter?
Well, don't make assumptions.
Yeah, but give us an example. Someone listening right now.
Yeah.
Can you give an example?
He made an example like if you see a girl in a mall, say, and she smiles at you, and then you smile back, and then you suddenly assume that she really likes you, and then you start thinking this whole relationship in your head, and then you think that, oh, wow, she really likes me, and then you find out she doesn't, and it's like crushing because you assumed that right. She did, right? And you like went so far with this imaginary relationship, just like don't assume things.
Awesome. And there's that great old saying, right? When you take the word assume, it makes an ass out of you and me, right?
Yeah.
But that's the one, again, when you don't assume anything, it's great where people do. It's if we looked at the other extent where someone is maybe looks at you with a frown, and awesome. That would be another example too, right? Where someone's frowning at you.
It can go both ways.
Yeah. And especially if someone's feeling self-conscious anyway, and they think that guy doesn't like me. I notice this with kids a lot. I look at the bus stop where you get one kid who looks up the other kid funny. And so he thinks he doesn't like him. So he starts acting like he's not being liked. So the other kid feels like he doesn't like him. And suddenly you got two kids who think they don't like each other. That's where assumptions can really play a role at school, yeah. Right? Yeah, awesome. All right, before we do the next one, this is I Want to Break Free. This is Queen. Remember, these guys, when they came out in that era, being gay in that era was like, it was just so different in the 70s. And so how far we've come as a culture now. But this is a song, I Want to Break Free. And I think it goes right along with this thing about not making assumptions about people. So here we go. Oh.
I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows. God knows I want to break free. I've fallen in love.
Wrong words. Here we go. All right, Benny. So we're getting close to the end of the show here. What is it like now? We're going to come back. I'll talk to you about lots of issues with young people and stuff, right? But the whole gay thing, I mean, when my brother, Alan, when he sort of came out, talked about being gay, I mean, it was like the hardest thing in an era where everyone didn't understand. But I mean, at school right now, how do your friends talk about the whole gay thing? And I think
you don't.
You don't talk about it?
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing, right? But if
like,
someone,
I used to be like people used gay as a derogatory term. Like if they said something, they thought something was bad, they'd say, oh, I was gay. But that like shut down quickly. Everyone totally thought that was dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
But do you find then when you talk about prejudice of any kind, when I listen to your friends together, I mean, prejudice of color, prejudice of sexual orientation, it just doesn't seem to be there. Whereas I know in our era, because we were so ignorant, it was like, you know, we would use that as a target on someone. I mean, do you find that everyone's very tolerant in your age group now? Or?
Yeah, well, if you're like not tolerant and you think there's a problem with someone's skin or sexual orientation, that makes you a bad person and people don't like you then.
Awesome. That's very, 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 very different. Very refreshing as well. So let's talk about the fourth agreement.
Always do your best.
Now.
I like this one. Yeah. It like put like a nice like bow on all the other agreements because it says like, oh yeah, you won't be perfect. You won't always be impeccable with your word. You won't always not take anything personally and you won't always not make assumptions, but you can always do your best.
Mm.
And that was like, you know.
Now, the perfectionist out there, the people that think doing their best means they can't make a mistake, that's what you're saying. It's actually what Don, and then by the way, Don is his, is Mr. in Spanish. So his name's Miguel. But Miguel Ruiz, his thing is that, like, you know, you're going to be human. You're actually going to be imperfect, but our goal is to strive to be impeccable with our word. And, you know, and when you're not, I mean, you know, let's say, for example, that you lied again and it was like one of those accidental lies like you did where you kind of just did it in the moment. You regretted it right away. But I didn't say anything. I didn't catch you. What do you think you'd do differently if we had to replay it and you kind of, I walked out, you felt bad. What do you think you could do after reading the book?
Well, that's really important to me. So I probably wouldn't accidentally lie again because that was a really big deal. But if I did,
what do you think? Would you have the courage to come and say, "Hey, Dad, you know what? I'm sorry, I just lied to you." I mean, yeah. Would it be something would you have the courage to do that?
Yes.
Awesome. Hey, you know what I was thinking? Before we get off the line, we got about 5 minutes. I was thinking about an adventure we went on. Oh, by the way, anything you want to say? I'm not sure with your last agreement. Do you want to wrap a bow in the book? These are your key takeaways. Do you want to read those? Because I know this is the third page of your report.
I might mess up again like I did on the summary.
Yeah, but we'll do our best, right?
Okay. My most important takeaway from this book is the first agreement. Be impeccable with my word. Sure, the other agreements are important, but not as half as important as this agreement. It's important because sometimes I say things that I don't always follow through with, and people can find that frustrating. The most important part of this agreement is always telling the truth. I've recently come into a habit of lying, and that's not okay whatsoever. I've lied to my dad's face a couple times. First time I thought I was protecting a friend, but the other time was for no reason. It doesn't matter, though, because lying is unacceptable on any occasion. I really want to be a trustworthy person that people like, and the only way that is going to happen is if I'm impeccable with my word. I will try my best to follow through with my agreements, and my best is enough.
Awesome. With that being said, here's another one, Bites the Dust by Queen. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Didn't work.
Another one bites the dust.
Come on,
and
Ben.
Another one gone.
And another one's gone.
Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Come on, Betty.
Hey.
He's not going to sing.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
You mocking me.
I mocked you a bit. Wanna what?
Anything you gonna get along with that too when you're gone? Took me for everything that I had and kicked me out of my own. I am a, I'm satisfied. How long can you stand the heat? I didn't know I had much of a reason. Still time to be. Look out. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, I give him a high five. He's like, what was that?
No, and you're just like, nope.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, hey, listen, Ben, this has been awesome. But what about sharing a little bit? You talk about bucket list. I want to come back to the bucket list just to finish off.
Cool.
You got your diving license last year. You were 13, I think, right, when you got your diver's license? Talk a little bit about getting your diver's license. You know, what happened? How'd you get it? And maybe talk about one of your favorite dives.
Well, I mean, most people, how long does it take to get a diver's license usually?
Some people spend weeks. It could take 6 to 8 weeks if
Wow. Sometime. I did it in 3 days.
Oh.
So it's kind of a big deal.
But you were also in an immersion class, which meant you had 3 full days, where some people just do it in the evenings. They'll do an hour or two, right? Yeah. You're still awesome. I just want to let you know that it's like...
just a little less awesome.
Yeah, just a teeny...
A wince.
A wince less than awesome.
Okay.
So that's it?
I'm...
3 days? You're going to tell us where'd you get your driver's license?
Belize.
Yeah. You're telling a story now. I'm shutting up. I'm not asking any questions. So just tell the whole story.
Why didn't we do it with Chico though? I don't remember.
He was no longer there.
No, he was still there.
Oh, no, I don't know. Because he couldn't certify it.
Oh, he couldn't.
That's right. He's a dive master.
So we went and got gas at a place and there was like a lady there. Did you just ask her if she could?
Yeah, I asked her because she was a certified instructor.
Yeah, and then she said that I could get certified. So she just taught me.
So you spent 3 days, two young guys, right? You and Tony?
Yeah, Tony.
And talk about what it was like. What was it like for you to be suddenly underwater, being able to breathe in the Caribbean?
The first time was so cool. Like just like being able to breathe underwater. It's like the best feeling. It's like next to flying the first time, and then you get used to it.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I don't know. It was just awesome. And it was hard at sometimes, like when I had to go like 15 feet down on the floor and then take off my goggles and put them back on. That, like, that was, I found that hard. But, you know, I got the hang of it and I had a blast. It was so fun.
Yeah. And we did, last time we were down on the island, we did 13 dives together, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a favorite dive. Do you want to talk a quick recap on the favorite dive?
Yeah. You wouldn't think it's a favorite dive because, I don't know, we were like 10 feet.
No, it was more than that. We were down about...
It was pretty shallow.
Yeah, it was, but it was about 30 feet max. Oh, 30, really? 32 feet, yeah. It felt like 10 feet.
I felt like the surface was like there.
That's because the water was so clear.
All right. So, I don't know. We just like had lots of fun.
But you had a harpoon.
You
have to preface it because some people don't like hunting, right? But they're lionfish, which were one of the most beautiful fish on the reef, happen to be one of the most dangerous fish, and they are actually destroying the reef. So the only fish in the reserve, we were actually diving in a reserve. The only fish in the reserve that you could shoot is a lionfish, and you just actually do it to protect them. But as a 13-year-old being given a harpoon underwater and being told to go and shoot a fish, how was that?
It's fun.
Right. So anyway, before we shot the fish, we got a visit from what?
We shot the fish.
No, before that.
The tortoise?
The turtle.
That's a turtle, right? Sorry. Yeah.
Big old loggerhead turtle, right?
Yeah. It was huge. How big is this head? Like,
it was massive.
Big turtle. And it's swimming in circles. So I just kind of like was an inch away from it, following it in circles.
And then you were just rubbing its back. And, yeah.
And so, it was awesome.
I love the look in your eyes as you're doing that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So then the turtle swims off.
Yeah. And then so we see a lionfish. We shoot it. We got it. Okay. And
hold on. I'm going to talk about him shooting fish because what we said was, you know, the meat is so good to eat. They make great salads. It's really a poisonous fish. So we said to Ben, he said, look, could you shoot it like through the eye or something? Yeah. Well, I mean, here he is, dead-eyed dick. I mean, he's shooting these things like this little tiny eye, whoop, straight through it, right? But these fish anyway. So you shot this lionfish.
Yeah. And so apparently a nurse shark
that came up between my legs.
Yeah, smelt the blood right under my dad's legs, and he grabbed it by its dorsal fin and just flipped it over. And then I gave a shark a belly rub. That's not a thing a lot of people can say.
But the fish, well, they go docile when you turn them over. And it's not, I mean, anyway, it was pretty amazing. So you got to pet a turtle without, I mean, you were just swimming gently with it. It wasn't overly touching it. Mm-hmm. And then you got to rub a belly of a shark and shoot a fish. That was a really amazing dive.
Oh, yeah, another thing. Saw a baby moray eel, which I'd never seen before.
How big was that? It was only like... tiny, right? A few inches?
Yeah, 2 inches.
But it looked like a real big one. It looked like a big one shrunk down with a
machine. Yeah, well, it's just like you don't see them. So it's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Ben, first time on the show. We look forward to having you back. Any last thoughts? Any last words?
Stay in school, brush your teeth, and eat your veggies.
You heard it from Ben, 14 years old. 14 years of old. Listen, don't forget to crank it up. Crank up the dial on your life. Turn up the dial on your relationships. Crank it up on your intimacy and crank it up on your bank account. Squeeze the juice out of every second because you deserve it. And we'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.